Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to give us a call here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the radio here this evening, and let you know, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we're here every Sunday night, 11 o'clock until midnight. We're also here on Friday afternoons from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and I hope you get a chance to tune in on Friday afternoons as well. And as I said, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We'll have some more information on that coming up. And you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. All right, well, let's go ahead and open our program here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program, use it for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody tonight. And we do pray that you could help us to point people that are searching to Christ, to encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, we just thank you for the opportunity to be on tonight. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you tonight. It's Sunday, August the 1st, and it seems like the summer's been flying by, and what a nice day. Usually the last week or two of July, first couple of weeks of August is kind of the dog days, hot, humid, sticky, and generally kind of miserable in that respect, but last couple of days have really been nice. We were out at the Summit County Fair. Our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, was out at the fair, at Summit County Fair this year, and we had a booth out there just inside the main gate. Saw a number of people that come by and listened on the radio, saw some people listen on the radio, and saw some people we'd seen in before at the fair, and we just had a good time. We set up our booth on Monday evening, and then opened bright and early on Tuesday morning, I think I was there at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning, and the fair was getting going. I think the gates were open, and some of the rides were starting up by about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, something like that, and we just had a great time. We had our booth out there that we usually have for for our church, and it's three things God cannot do, and of course we get a lot of attention with that, that people ask questions. We were talking about that on the radio. Pastor Lutz filled in for me. He's usually on from 1 o'clock until 1:30 on Friday afternoons. He's the pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, and he stayed in the studio, and I called in from the fairgrounds on Friday, and we were talking about our booth and how we use the three things God cannot do, which talks about God cannot lie, God cannot change, and God cannot allow sinners into heaven. And we have some tracks and things that we give away with that as well. And we also have some origami birds that have some Bible verses on it and a little bit of a gospel witness and our church name and website. And we gave out more of those things this year than we ever have before. We must have given out a couple hundred of them. Having to fold them and pass them out. I think they were being passed out as fast as they could get folded, and it was good. One of the things that was really kind of interesting is it had more Muslims who were receptive to receiving those little birds with the Bible verses on them, and also even opening the doors that we have, three things God cannot do, we had a number of Muslims who were willing to open up the doors and take a look. Even seemed interested, and they took some of our gospel literature. And we've never had, in the years that I've been doing this, we've never had so much of a reception like that, positive reception amongst Muslims as we did this past week at the Summit County Fair. It was kind of exciting. We even had two little boys that wanted to look at it, and their dad came up, and he actually encouraged them to open the doors. And I always like it, because even if they don't get any further than the God cannot lie, that we have there, we understand that that's part of God's fundamental nature, but you can't say that about Allah. Allah is someone who not only lies, but encourages his followers to lie. And of course, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees when he said, "You're of your father, the devil." And he said that he was a liar from the beginning. And so we understand where lying comes from. It's a sin. It also tells us in the Bible, in Revelation chapter 20, that all liars are going to have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And, I point that out to people. Chapter 21 and verse 8, because people think lying is not that bad. But in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters." And then it says, "And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So lying is serious business in God's eyes. And so if you have a God that encourages you to lie, if you have a God that lies himself, like Allah does in the Quran, you might want to check who that God actually is. Well, anyway, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out more about us there. You can listen to past programs there. You can look at some of the booklets and things, articles and things that I've written over the years, and some other materials and resources there. Hopefully be a help to you. There's also links to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and I certainly invite you to visit there. We'll have some more information at the bottom of the hour and at the end of the program. And if you are looking for our YouTube broadcast tonight, unfortunately, you're not going to find it. Problems, I don't know what the problem is. Couldn't get it to load. YouTube won't load it tonight. It just sat there and spun and spun and spun for several minutes, and we won't have that this evening. But you can, if you have problems listening on the air, you can go to the radio station's website at whkwradio.com or thewordcleveland.com. Either one will get you there, and click on the Listen Live tab. And if you like this station, they actually have an app that you can download on your phone. And you can click on that and listen to 1220 at other times. And I also encourage you to do that if you're having problems with getting us on the radio clearly. All right. Well, we're going to get into some things. Again, our telephone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And we've got Mark calling in this evening from Marysville. Mark, welcome to the program this evening.
Hey, Pastor Al, how you doing?
I am doing well. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I appreciate you taking my call. I've called in a few times in the past couple of months about I'm down here in Marysville, Ohio, and there's a ministry, the Hope Center, wants to buy the property that I rent on to use as transition housing for women getting out of the reformatory here in Marysville, women with small children. And I've called in several times, asked for prayer, and you've encourage people to pray. This week is the week where the lawyers for my landlord and the Hope Center will meet. and iron everything out legally. And it turns out, by the grace of God, according to the director of the Hope Center, all the money to purchase this property is, it's been pledged by churches and by individuals, and they'll be basically be able to buy it all off in one shot.
Oh, very good. That's good news.
Yeah, it's just, I couldn't believe it. She told me that about a week and a half ago, and I felt like a weight lift off of me.
Wow.
And because she had told me the week previous that it looked like they were going to be able to get everything, and then now it's a definite.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been two setbacks. There was kind of a goof on a legal document that was written up, and then about 2 weeks, that was about a week or two ago, and then 2 weeks previous, the woman in charge, Becky is her name, Becky Bolt, she got sick with something, had to be hospitalized. So I know the enemy's fighting this thing. I'm just asking for more prayer, and because this week could be the week where everything's finalized, and you know they'll be able to look at this place in person and visit all the units here, the five rental units we mm-hmm. have here. And also they have talked about making me the caretaker of the
right place. I remember you're mentioning that when you're asking for prayer the last time.
Yes, and I really want prayer for every aspect of this, especially if I am to be a minister in any way, shape, or form, that God would give me wisdom, have the right words to say, know exactly what to do. And also, there has been an oppression over here, a form of oppression, like a heaviness, the past 5 or 6 years. And I've talked to a friend, and she was reading through the New Testament. She got to 2 Peter chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
where it talks about Lot. And it says, you know, God delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. I mean, Lot had his faults, but he was right in the midst of Sodom and Gomorrah. God rescued him, but he was still weighed down with the oppression of, you know, Sodom. And in one of the Greek word studies I read, Kenneth Wiest, a Greek scholar, he says that word vexed has the idea of to tire down with toil, to exhaust with labor, to afflict or oppress with evils. To oppress
right.
with evils. And the enemy can use different people as a doorway, so to speak, to his activity. And that is what's been, there's been a real wrestling with that over here with one individual that remains. And I'm really asking people to pray that God would sovereignly, as he's done with all the other criminals over here that have left peacefully, no problem, no conflict when they left, that this one remaining person that the Hope Center knows about, because I've told them extensively about this man, that God would remove him, because these will be new women that are new to the faith when they get out. And as bad as it's been, I've been saved 40 years. I'm not saying I'm a mature saint. I mean, the older I get, the more I realize how little I know. But if the enemy is going to attack me, I cannot imagine what he would want to do to new converts. Well, I can't.
Right.
I can't, because as soon as I got saved, within a year, I had a parent pull me into a cult. So I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really asking for prayers, because there's been a change in behavior with this one individual that's over here. I've told the Hope Center about it. I said, I don't know what's going on, but his behavior's changed. It's just, it's worse. And the drunkenness is not getting any better. And, you know, the main thing is his treatment of little children in the past that have been babysat up above him. He's yelled and screamed and even F-bombed them in the middle of the afternoon. He's just, I'm sorry, I don't usually say it, but he's a reprobate. And I'm really asking for prayer that God would transfer this place over peacefully to the Hope Center, and that he would clean the place out, and it would be a place of true ministry with no catch-22s, bad situations, potential.
Well, yeah, and it would make sense if they're trying to help people that they want to remove anything that would be an obstacle or anything that would be a potential hindrance to the overall ministry. That would make sense to me, especially since you have this individual who's this guy that's causing these problems, and you're bringing these women into this situation.
Yes,
and all
little
and
children.
Yeah, and we understand, of course, that the devil does try to oppose that which God is trying to do. He certainly does try to stir up trouble. We've talked about some of these things on the radio and at our church and different things, and Bible study and all. And I was thinking at one time about the woman that followed Paul and Barnabas when they were traveling. Off top of my mind, don't remember the city. And she was was possessed of a particular spirit, evil spirit, a fallen angel. Yep. And everywhere that they went and they tried to proclaim the gospel, this woman would say, these are the servants of the Most High God. And you'd say, well, what's wrong with saying that? That's what they were, weren't they? But it's just like, if you can imagine, every time they open their mouth to say, we want to tell you about Jesus, and this woman starts shouting, these are the servants of the Most High God. And they say, well, we want to tell you what Jesus, these are the servants. And it becomes such an interruption that Peter turned around and in the name of the Lord, of course, took authority over the spirit, and the spirit was cast out, and it solved their problem. Of course, the people who profited from the woman's activities, they were not happy with that. But what I was bringing up with that incident is God was trying to do something to help people. And the devil had a person there that was afflicted with an evil spirit that he was able to move in to hinder and oppose God's work. And he does that all the time.
Yeah.
And so whenever we're attempting to do something or see a work of God begin, you can just about be assured, as Paul told Timothy, they that live... I'm going to mess up the verse now just thinking about it. They all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall, not might, shall suffer persecution.
Yes.
And it's not a given. I mean, it's not an if, it's a given. Shall suffer persecution. But think about it in this way, Mark, when you're doing something for the Lord, you're a threat to the devil's kingdom. You're a threat to what he's trying to do or what he's trying to prevent from happening. You threaten his plans, and so he's gonna go after somebody that's trying to do something for the Lord. If somebody's a Christian and they're just doing nothing, well, they're not much of a threat, are they?
No.
And so when you look at this ministry that you're describing, for these women to give them a home where they can grow and they can improve their relationship with the Lord and be prepared to go back into society, that's a threat to the devil's plans, huh?
Yes, correct. The thing is with this person, when there was trouble over here before, mm-hmm. the one time that the cops kind of shared with me that I know of, and it could have been one of many times. But this individual in question, he almost got charged with obstruction of justice because there was prostitution and drug use going on, and a fugitive from justice was hiding out in one of the apartments, and the cops knew it, and they knew from questioning this guy that he was tipping these people off. And I thought, that is enough said right there. He not only doesn't report crime, he aids and abets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we don't need that. These women don't need it. I mean, I'm sick of it. For 5 years, this guy has been over here, and it's been horrible. But just a couple of weeks ago, it was like the Lord kind of got it through my thick head. It's like, what about the young women or, the new converts in the Lord that will come
right
over here? What will it be like for them? And I thought, boy, that is 100 times more worse for them than it is for me. I mean, it's bad enough for me, but new converts, babes in Christ, don't need that. I mean, like I said, I got saved December 13th, 1980. Less than a year later, a parent pulled me into a cult.
Mm-hmm.
I was not discipled at all.
Yeah.
But, the enemy's just waiting for I forget how the exact word is, but beguiling unstable souls is mm-hmm. what the enemy will do. And unstable, that can also be, that carries with it the idea of being naive. you know, and I was a naive Christian. I was young in the Lord, wasn't discipled. And I'm thinking, these women, they need a place of protection and safety, and they don't need, for lack of a better term, a devil living right underneath them, mm-hmm. you know, right around them. And so I'm asking for prayer. This week is a big week, and I know the enemy's tried to hinder this thing, but monetarily, all the ducks are in a row, and we're talking anywhere from $600,000 to $800,000. I'm thinking that churches and individuals in the area have pledged, and I'm thinking, Lord, I hope they pray even more than they give.
Right.
Money alone doesn't really cut it.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have that prayer undergirding, and well, prayer support, and mm-hmm. that's why I'm calling out. And I appreciate you letting me talk this long.
That's fine. And Mark, I know people are going to be praying for you, and encourage our listeners to pray for Mark. Pray for the Hope Ministry. And this looks like it's going to be a pivotal week in this ministry, and has a tremendous potential there. And of course, Marysville is home to the women's prison. Was it penitentiary? I think it is, state of Ohio.
2,500 women. It's the only women's prison in the state.
Right, right.
And it literally is right within city limits. Marysville is mm-hmm. like about 30 to 35,000 people northwest of Columbus, about 30 miles.
Yes, so I encourage people to pray for you, Mark, and for the ministry there, the Hope Ministry, and for these women that are going to be in this halfway house in the future. And pray that God will get the victory, put a hedge of protection around everybody that's involved, and remove the obstacles to the pathway for these women coming out and cultivating a relationship with God, not only getting saved, but growing in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So appreciate the update on that, Mark.
And, God bless you.
And God bless in the work there. People keep praying for Mark and the ministry, Hope Ministry there, and the opportunities. And appreciate that. You are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I know we're going to be coming up on a break in a few minutes, but I think Nancy called in first, and we can get Nancy on the air here this evening. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. I was very fascinated with this call that you had with Mark. What a wonderful ministry he has, and I certainly will be praying for him. Now, can I just ask you a quick question before I get to my biblical question?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you're good friends with Laverne Gore, who I believe she's running against Marsha Fudge.
What it is Marsha Fudge was the congressional representative, U.S. House of Representatives, for Ohio's 11th district, congressional district,
mm-hmm.
and Laverne Gore ran against her in the last election, but of course Marsha Fudge won re-election. Well, Joe Biden has put her on a cabinet position, Secretary HUD, I believe it is. And so she is now in the cabinet in the 11th district, which includes much of our listening area. It stretches from the east side of Cleveland into East Cleveland, Euclid, South Euclid, Cleveland Heights, Garfield Heights, Bedford. It stretches down across to Seven Hills, and then from Seven Hills down into Broadview Heights. From Broadview Heights, it touches Richfield Township, Richfield Village in Summit County, Bath Township, and then into Fairlawn, and then into parts of Akron. It's kind of a convoluted sort of a thing, and it is one of the, even though it's got some of the richest people and neighborhoods in northeastern Ohio mm-hmm. in it, mm-hmm. You know, when you get up into Beechwood and Orange and Bratnall and places like that, and some of the areas in Bath that in West Akron that are in it, but it's got some very poverty-stricken areas, and overall, it's one of the poorest congressional districts in the United States, not just in Ohio, but in the entire United States. And it's a what has been traditionally, Laverne Gore was on our program a few weeks ago on Friday program, and she said it was set up initially as what they called a minority-majority district, where it would be essentially, the minority would be in the majority. That's why it sounds kind of funny, minority-majority district. And it was sort of a sacrifice district from the Republican standpoint. And it was one that for the Democrats, it would almost be an assured Democrat representative. And I think there was at least one more in Ohio that was set up that way. But without getting into all the details, Laverne Gore ran in, like I said, in the last election. She lost to Marsha Fudge. Marsha Fudge is no longer there. We have no congressional representative right now. And so there's an open seat that's being hotly contested on the Democrat side. And there's, I think, about 12, I believe it is, candidates for the Democrat in. Yeah, and the main two is Nina Turner and Chantel Brown. And they're the ones you're seeing on TV. And it's just, I was watching the news getting ready for church this morning. Yeah. And I'm watching, and here's a commercial from Nina Turner on how horrible and wicked Chantel Brown is. And then here's Chantel Brown on how horrible and wicked Nina Turner is. They're just going back and forth. and you don't even hear about the Republicans. And there is Laverne Gore. And then it slips my mind, there is another lady who is in the Republican primary, and I'm not going to attempt to get the name because I know I'll get it wrong. It just slipped my mind right now. But Laverne is probably lead candidate with the name recognition and all that from having run before. And so she is right. In fact, Laverne Gore stopped by our church booth at the Summit County Fair today. And I did not get to see her. I was at our own church. We had a church service. Some of the people from our church manned the booth there today and took it down when the fair came to a close here this evening. But she stopped by, spent a few minutes there, took some pictures, and we actually had quite a few politicians come through. We had a gentleman by the name of Neil Patel, who is a businessman who is running as a Republican for the U.S. Senate because Senator Portman's retiring. And then we had, State Representative, Ohio Representative Bill Romer. I'm in his district for the Ohio State House, and he's, of course, running for re-election, and he stopped by. And then Christina Rogner stopped by, and I'm in her district as well. And she stopped by, and then we had some people who were running for school board, Akron, school board Revere, things like that. And it just was exciting seeing some of these people stop by and chat with us and things. Mm-hmm. And, it's good to see. And I hope that, Laverne, if the Democrats are really attacking each other, whoever wins the Democrat nomination, the election is Tuesday. This Tuesday, if you're in the 11th district, I believe the 15th district also has one, but I'm not in the 15th district. The 11th district on Tuesday is going to have this special election, and the Democrats are going to choose.
That's what I wanted to know. Somebody told me at church today, make sure you vote for Laverne Gore on August 3rd, but I wasn't even aware that this was a possibility. I'm not even sure where I should vote because that
maybe your regular voting place where you voted last fall
I've been lazy. I've been voting by mail. So
call on Monday. I know we're coming up on the break here real quick, and we'll have to hold you for your actual question. But call the Cuyahoga County Board of Elections tomorrow if you're in Cuyahoga County.
Okay.
If you're in Summit County, call the Summit County Board of Elections or log online to the Ohio Attorney General, Secretary of State's office online, and you can enter in your address there. If you do that, they have a portal on the Secretary of State's website, and it will tell you where your voting location is, and it will be open at, I got to be there at 5:30 in the morning. I believe it's 6:30, then the polls open, and then, of course, it'll be run until, in the evening like normal. So, yeah, check out with the Board of Elections or the Secretary of State's office.
Okay.
And, yes, Laverne Gore, godly woman. But stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and even join in the conversation if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this evening. And also check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can link from there to listen to some past programs, a number of resources and materials that are available there. And you can also link to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. And also, let me remind you about East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. That's 4889 Turney Road. And you can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Mention that you heard about him here on Live with Pastor Al. All right, we're going to get back to our phones here. Again, that number is 888-677-9673. We were talking with Nancy, and she had a Bible question, but we were also touching on the election, the special election in the U.S. Congressional, Ohio's Congressional District 11. and that is the primary because the Representative Marsha Fudge is now a cabinet member, and so the 11th District is currently without representation, and there's about a dozen names on the Democrat side of the primary. If you're a Democrat, you'll go there and vote for one of them, Nina Turner and Chantel Brown, of course, being the most notable, the best known, and the ones that seem to have all the money and endorsements. They're going at it. It just seems like you're seeing their ads every time you turn a TV on anymore. And then on the Republican side, we have Laverne Gore, and I do apologize, I don't have at my fingertips the other lady's name that she's running against, and there would be a choice there. And so whoever wins the two primary races will be paired off against each other in November in the general election. And that way we'll have a representative for Ohio's 11th Congressional District. Felicia Ross, I believe it is. And thank you. And I'm glad I didn't guess that because I was thinking it was Faith or something, but it's Felicia Ross. And I apologize to her and her campaign that I did not have her name at my fingertips. But the election, and also the 15th district, I think, has one. But the election is coming up on Tuesday, August the 3rd. That's Tuesday, August the 3rd. If you do not know where to vote, and even if you're unsure about whether or not you're in that district or one of those districts, and there are some other locations in Ohio, local districts that have something on the ballot as well, some areas, if you have any question whatsoever, the two things you can do to find out: one, contact your county board of elections. If you look them up, you can call the county board of elections, and they will tell you what elections are in your county, and if they affect you, and they will tell you where you can go to vote. Or you can go online to the Ohio Secretary of State's website, and you can look that up pretty easy, and you enter in your address there, and they will tell you if you have an election in your area and where you go to vote. And so if you have any question at all, give one of those two sources a try and do your part. Get out and vote on August the 3rd, this coming Tuesday. All right. Well, let me get back to Nancy here. We got the political discussion out of the way, I guess. And you had a Bible topic or question for us, didn't you, Nancy?
Yes, I did. But before I start on that, your friend in mine, Maria, that goes to your church, I was on hold, and she gave me the link to how to find out, you know, my polling place. So I really appreciate that. And now, my question tonight was regarding Jude, which, you know, it just says one chapter, Jude,
right,
6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now, can you explain the difference between fallen angels and demons? I would really appreciate that.
Well, actually, fallen angels is a more accurate term than demons. Demons is another word that really isn't the best word, but it's the most familiar word. So most people know what we're talking about when we say demon. But in reality, fallen angel, unclean spirit, you could say a devil, those are all better words that mm-hmm. really are more accurate. And as a consequence, you know, when for most people using the word phrase fallen angel or demon or something like that or devil is all synonymous for a lot of people in terms of their intent on how they're you know, using the word and what they're using it for. And so people will use them kind of interchangeably. Doesn't mean that originally the words didn't have some different meanings. One way of looking at it is this way. Every word has a definition, but words also have connotations. And some people have suggested, and I've heard this in the past, that a demon has a connotation of being almost like a demigod, somewhat of a, you know, how in Greek mythology, Roman mythology, they had people who were half gods, half God, half man. And as a consequence, that could relate more to that, whereas we know that fallen angels are not half God, half man. They're not half God, half angel either. They're angelic beings that were created by God, and they were created with a free will, just like Adam and Eve were created with and like we're created with. They were created to have fellowship with God, and they were created to populate the spiritual realm of heaven that God created when, in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And some of those angels that he created, and of course Lucifer being the chief of them, it's believed that probably about a third of them followed Lucifer in rebellion against God, and they became what we refer to as demons or devils or unclean spirits, fallen angels, all different phrases and words referring to the same thing, the angels that rebelled against God. So,
Can I just ask one question?
Yeah.
Isn't there sort of a subdivision of these fallen angels or demons, since there's seems to be an interchangeable term. Some, as it's mentioned here in Jude 6, they're reserved in everlasting chains under darkness.
Right.
The judgment is a great day. So some of the demons are in chains right now, but other ones are freely roaming around and doing evil deeds.
And we know that some of these angels that are chained, and there's various things put forth as to why they may have been chained rather than allowed to roam around, but we also know that some of them during the tribulation period, the book of Revelation talks about some demons or devils, the fallen angels being released from the pit to afflict people during the judgments of the tribulation period. So some of them are reserved for that. The Bible doesn't get into a whole lot of detail, I don't believe, at least that I'm aware of, as to exactly why. It gives us this statement here, as you read in Jude 6, they kept not their first estate. When we look at that, well, their first estate, if you think about it, obviously had to do with the position in heaven that they were created to fill. Lucifer, for instance, was described as the anointed cherub that covereth. And we see in Revelation chapter 4, when John is caught up into heaven, we see four angelic beings that it refers to them as beasts, meaning created beings, and not that they were wild animals, but they were created beings that are angelic beings that surround the throne of God, crying, "Holy, holy, holy." And it's thought by some that Lucifer would have hovered over the throne of God, and the gemstones that were described in his covering would have reflected the glory of God, back from above God, down around his creation. Is that Isaiah chapter 14? Let me take a quick run over to Isaiah chapter 14. There's where his fall is, of course, in Isaiah chapter 14. Let me read that just for a second. He said, art thou fallen from heaven? This is Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? And then it goes on to give the five I wills that he had. But when we look at this in Jude chapter 6, kept not their first estate. Well, his first estate that he had, he didn't keep it, obviously, and some of the others as well. And he was cast down from that position. And the others, it says in Jude, they left their own habitation. And whatever they did was such that God reserved them in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. So, you know, we know the devil, Lucifer, did some horrible things and still does. It does make you kind of wonder just how bad these ones were. Some have suggested that they were involved in Genesis chapter 6, where it talks about the sons of God and the daughters of men. And so there's been some speculation with that. So, yeah, but these would have been fallen angels, devils, demons, whichever terminology you care to add to it.
Okay, well, thank you for explaining. I guess a better question would have been, can you describe the difference between those that are kept in everlasting chains versus those that are freely running around? Because from my understanding, fallen angels are demons. And, okay, I think I state the question correctly. Thank you.
Yeah, and also,
thank you.
Also, I was going to mention, too, the word demon does not appear in the Bible. The Bible uses the term devil or devils, as opposed to demon or demons. That's not in the Bible. So, in I guess if you want to be more biblical, the term devils would be the more accurate term. But generally speaking, you know, we understand what we mean when we say demons. It's just like saying phantom versus ghost. It's basically it's the same thing.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for explaining it.
Well, thanks, Nancy. Really appreciate the call.
Now, you probably have other people waiting.
We've got, I think, Terry up next, so we'll be getting to Terry here.
I was going to ask you something real quick, but I guess I don't have time.
All right. Well, appreciate that. We'll catch you the next time, Nancy. Thank you so much. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we've got Terry on the line waiting. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, the weather's been nice lately.
Yeah.
The weather.
Yeah, I think my voice is a little hoarse tonight, not because of the weather, but just because I've been talking so much this past week and out at the county fair all week, setting up Monday, then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then I wasn't out there today because of church services, but certainly talking all day with church services and nursing home services and all. But welcome to the program.
Thank you. When you were talking to Nancy, two things came to me that people need to stay away from. And that's necromancy.
Right. Necromancy has to do with communing with the dead.
Right. And astrology.
Right. And
it comes to, because you're playing in the devil's backyard when you practice those things.
Yeah, and in both cases, what you're doing, because you know, the dead are not coming back to talk to you. You know, you're generally, if you're getting somebody talking to you, it's a fallen angel, an unclean spirit, as we were talking with Nancy, a devil, demon, as people call it, masquerading as somebody and coming and pretending to be that person and talking to you and trying to essentially lead you astray. And then, of course, astrology, looking at the stars and the position of the stars and the planets in the sky and believing that that's going to affect the fate of people on Earth.
You read an astrology or your, in the newspaper, they always have
your horoscope. And interesting thing, there's been cases where people have not gotten the latest horoscope in, so they just run something from a year ago and nobody makes a difference, or nobody can tell the difference, I should say. And there's actually a phrase, if you look at the way that those things are written on the horoscopes, you could take any of the statements that are there, and you could just mix them up and reapply them to different astrological signs, you know, the ones that's in that horoscope. You could cut and paste, for instance, and move what's for Leo, move it over to Cancer, what's for Cancer, move it over to Scorpio, what's for him, move it over to Capricorn, and so forth and so on. And most people reading that would say, wow, look how accurate this is. I can't believe it's like they knew exactly what was going to happen. But they're what's called Barnum statements. Remember the circus with P.T. Barnum?
Yeah.
And he was famous, you know, for his showmanship. And the idea of a Barnum statement, there's another technical psychological term for it, but the idea is that it's a general, vaguely worded statement that can apply to just about anybody that reads it, because everything is phrased in such a way that people that want to see something in it will. A famous psychological experiment is where the guy in his class, a university class, he said, after having everybody in class, you know, for this semester, he prepared a special assessment of them, and he wrote it out individually for each person in the class, and he passed them out folded up so nobody could see what the other one was. He said, don't show this to anybody. He says, I want you to open up in the class, don't read anybody else's, don't look at anybody else's, don't share yours. I want you to read this, and then we're going, I want you to tell me how accurate it was. And he had people indicate how accurate it was, and everybody said, oh, it's just like you followed me around. This is just amazing. How did you know this? And then he said, now I want you to take your personal statement and pass it to the person on your right, or however he did it. And when they passed them over to the other person, everybody in the class had the exact same statement. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
But everybody, when they read it, they wanted to see something there. They wanted it to apply to them. And he wrote in such terms, you know, that was vague enough that it could apply to anybody that read it.
It sounds almost charismatic.
Well, in this sense, it wouldn't be so much charismatic as deceptive, other than the fact that sometimes some of these things that charismatics get these revelations, and they're pretty vague.
Yeah, no, I've always been leery about that, too, about charismatic teachings.
Yeah, and that's...
And God told me to say this to you, and God said that, and, you know. And I've always had a problem with that in the charismatic.
Right. And, you know, when we look at what the devil is trying to do, though, and we understand the willingness of people oftentimes to be willingly fooled, I guess, is a way to say it. And these Barnum statements that we are getting at, they have what's called the Barnum effect. And this, again, is dependent on the individuals wanting to see this apply to them. And that's what happens when they read the horoscopes. They want it to apply to them. They go to somebody that you know, a psychic, a fortune teller, a palm reader, and they want what's said to apply to them. And so they, in a sense, allow themselves to be fooled. And I think that can happen even in churches if we're not careful, you know, charismatic or otherwise. We can...
People live their life that way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The horoscope, you know, what does a horoscope going to tell me today?
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this is where we have to be careful. And getting back to what you're talking about too, about the astrology and the horoscopes, part of the problem with this is that what you're doing is you're looking to something other than God for guidance, something other than God for direction, something other than God to determine how you're going to live your life.
Yeah.
And that's a problem for Christians. There are Christians who think you can go to fortune tellers. There are Christians who think that it's okay to do your horoscope and things like that. But these are all doorways for the devil to get a hold of people's hearts and minds and to lead them astray. We ought not to be going to any supernatural source, necromancy. You're dealing with, people think they're dealing with the departed dead, but they're dealing with unclean spirits. And in astrology, you're allowing unclean spirits to influence you through the astrological teachings and the horoscopes and things like that. And again, that's going to, the devil and his cohorts for direction when you ought to be going to God. And so that's a problem.
I was going to mention real quick at the top, top of the show, you mentioned about God cannot lie.
Right. Yes.
That's in Titus.
Titus. Yes. He is verse, not a man. Yes.
Or, sorry, verse. Yeah, verse.
Yeah, I had turned there a minute. We're quickly running out of time. Let me turn back over. I'm taking my time. I was over here in the Old Testament in Isaiah and Ezekiel. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And absolutely true. And that's his fundamental nature. Because we'll have people every once in a while object and say, well, didn't God change his mind about this or change his mind about that? And God can change how he does things and some of his plans and things like that. That's true, but his fundamental nature is that he is holy and righteous and without sin, and lying is a form of sin, and God cannot sin, he cannot lie, and he cannot change his fundamental nature.
When he promises salvation, he'll give us salvation if we believe in him.
Right, and that's what he says, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. He already, before he created this world, he had a plan of salvation ready to go.
And I say amen to that.
Yes, before the world began. Well, Terry, we're about out of time here right now. I want to thank you for the call tonight. Appreciate that. And I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. If you're in an area that has an election, get out and vote on Tuesday. In the meanwhile, have a great week. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com.